in this hour. Please turn with me here to John chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3. Do you know, normally I'd preach when we have a water baptism. I use the opportunity to preach on water baptism, but I just couldn't get freedom. I felt so constrained to stay with John chapter 3 and continue preaching on being born again. So constrained to do that. So excuse me if I'm not going into what it means to be baptized in water, but the only thing that really matters is that you know what it means to be born again. If you know what it means to be born again, you're a bit confused about water baptism, never you mind. You'll soon find out as the weeks and the months and the years go by. You'll in a year's time, you'll say, man, and now I understand what water baptism is. I see the reality. Can I get baptized in water again? No. No, it's not a feeling. It's not an experience. It's just an act of obedience. He said, if you believed on me, if you've repented of your sin, if you're my disciple, if you know he's changed your heart, then be baptized in water. That's as much as you need to know. I tell you, spend the rest of your life going, man, I see this. I see this. Thank God I was baptized at a gypsy camp in England when I think I was 15 years old. We had to walk through three fields. It was raining more than it is this morning. My dad had his pajamas on to baptize us in the water. We went in there, thought, we'll never get out of here again. Our feet stuck in the mud. So you're going to have it easy today. You're going to have it a lot nicer. But let's read here John chapter 3. My message this morning, last week we dealt with born of the word. Here this morning I want to preach on born of the spirit. John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak the things we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We praise you for new birth, the lives that you've saved and washed from their sin and redeemed by your grace and your mercy. What a miracle, O God, that the wind of God has blown upon lives in this room. That we have a testimony of that mighty wind that we hardly expected, that we knew nothing about, nor God it come in such a strange and a unique way, invisible way, but with such power, with such miracle work in power, that our lives have been changed. And my God, in this room I pray, nor God, let that wind blow either as a hurricane or softly and gently in regenerating and saving souls. If there's anyone who needs that wind to blow upon them, will you blow this morning in a supernatural, life-changing way, that you'll change their heart, you'll change their mind, you'll change their spirit, you'll change the direction of their life. My God, will you do what no man on earth earth can possibly do. Will you change the heart of a man and of a woman? And Lord God, we're asking for the wind of God to blow upon our families, our friends, upon this city, upon the streets. Lord God, as we go in and out, and as we go out in the streets, as we are with our families, let that wind begin to blow. My God, we're praying for it. We're believing. We're asking, oh God, let the wind of God blow. Lord God, in your own special way. Lord God, in your own secretive, hidden way. And Lord God, when it blows, we see the power of it in individual lives. We love you this morning and ask, oh God, for the inspiration, the unction, the anointing, the blessing, the help of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, both to speak and to hear and listen and receive your word.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My message this morning, born of the Spirit. We've looked at Christ's message, ye must be born again. Last week we've seen how men are not only born again, but they are actually born of the water or of the Word of God. But here this morning I want to preach to you on being born of the Spirit. We have this mentioned here in John chapter 3 in verse 3 that you must be born again. But down to verse 5 we read another statement that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. The new birth of the born again experience is the same as being born of the water or born of the word. And that is also synonymous or exactly the same as being born of the Spirit. There are several times the Bible says that a man is born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God births him supernaturally. That is the same as being born again or born of the word of God. Never separate being born of the word from being born of the Spirit of God. These are a synonymous experience in being born again of God. To be born again of God means that you're born of the Word and of the Holy Spirit. This is no mystery to us. Because the Holy Spirit is the author of the written scriptures or the Word of God. How can the Holy Spirit save us? Or how can we be born of the Spirit of God without being born of the Word of God? If you see people who say they're saved and the Spirit of God has done a work, but they cast aside the Word of God and they have no respect, that man has not experienced the Spirit of God. Show me someone born of the Spirit of God. I assure you they've been born of the Word of God and the truth of God. And if you ever separate those two things in the born again experience, you're heading for disaster. A man who's truly born again has been born of the Word of God. He loves the Word of God. He believes the Word of God. He reads the Word of God. He holds fast to the Word of God. He obeys the Word of God. But here this morning, we want to move further and look into this spiritual birth or this statement, born of the Spirit. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? I want to give you five distinct things here, very simply here this morning. What it really means to be born of the Spirit. Because the Bible speaks of those who have been born of the Spirit. It is both an experience and a person. I want to tell you, I had an experience at 4.5 years old where the wind of God blew on me. I was born of God. It is an experience, but now it is a person. I am a person born of the Spirit of God. Not just an experience, not just something he does, but I am someone born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has birthed me or changed my entire life. I can look to a time, a day, an hour, when the Holy Spirit come and moved upon me. My five things here this morning. First of all, I want us to look at the meaning of what it means to be born of the Spirit. Our first point, the wind of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit. It says in verse, at the end of verse 7, ye must be born again. And this was Christ speaking to Nicodemus, a man who was in need of being born again. He had religion, he had tradition, he had the written word of God. He knew the Bible, he held the Bible, he said he believed the Bible. But the Holy Spirit had not changed this man. To have the word without the Spirit, you've got a problem. Or to say you have the Spirit without the word, you have a actual problem. But notice Jesus says to him, you must be born again. Then in verse 3 he goes further. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence or from where it cometh or whither it goeth or to where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now notice here, this is the first great mark of a man or a woman born of the Spirit. This is the great mark. What is it? It's the wind of the Spirit. The wind of God's Holy Spirit has blown on their life. I assure you, if the wind of the Spirit has blown on your life, you cannot be the same. Something changes. If you claim to have the Spirit and yet you're the same, you are a liar, or else you're deceived. It's Christ here actually teaching this experience of being born again. Or to be born of the Spirit means the wind blows on you. There is a day, there is an hour, there is a time where the Holy Spirit begins to blow. Can I ask you here in this room, do you know of an experience where the Holy Spirit came as a wind that wasn't going to leave you the same? I believe in the power of that wind. When it blows on you, it may come as a hurricane. I assure you, it may come as a still breeze, like Lydia at that woman's prayer meeting, several ladies at the waterside, and they're praying, calling on the Lord. Well, here comes a preacher. He stands there in the open air and he begins to proclaim that Christ is the Savior. And you know what? That wind blew very softly on her. It says that God opened up, the Lord opened up her heart, and she was saved or born again. There wasn't any fuss, there wasn't any shouting that we know about, but that lady's life was radically changed. It was just a light blowing, but it was a wind, I assure you. Now the Apostle Paul, on that day when he's riding to Damascus, what a wind blew on that man. And here he is, the persecutor of the church, but before long he's going to be a preacher of this same Christ. What a mighty wind. Saints, I do believe in the wind of the Spirit. I'm not going to lessen what the Bible says. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit, and it's to have the wind of the Spirit to so blow upon your life that you can never be the same again. The effect of the Spirit in changing a person's life is just like a natural wind blowing out across this island of ours or through the trees. Let me give you a few points here. It is unseen. The wind itself is invisible. The naked eye cannot discern the wind. Neither can your naked eye discern the work of the Spirit. You cannot see it with the outward eye. Yet you, when the wind blows, you see the effect, you hear the result. There is no doubt left in your mind. When the wind blows in an individual, you go, man, the wind of God, he is born of the Spirit of God. How do you know? Did you see the wind? No, I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it went to. I don't know who it's going to hit next. That wind may have hit your house. I don't know whose house it's going to hit next. That hurricane come down the street causing damage. When it's gone, well, I don't know where it's going next. But I assure you, it was here. I see the effect of it. I see the influence of it all around me. It is an unseen work, but it's not an unseen work. You do see it. I look around this room this morning. From I walked in that door, man, I go, the Spirit of God's done a work in these lives. I know the wind has blown in lives. How do I know? There is the evidence, the testimony, that you can never be the same again. What a wonderful thing. Not only is it unseen, but it's sudden.
Yes.
Without warning. This wind of the Spirit coming to a sinner, it comes without warning. It's unpredictable. You cannot tell when that wind is going to blow. You can say a little sinner's prayer all you want. You can say that you've seen 1,000 people saved on the high street all you want. Say this after me. No wind is blown. But I assure you, this wind is unpredictable. Saul of Tarsus didn't expect it. Some of you in this room, you were merely going selling your drugs. You were out in your drink. You were out in fornication. But here comes this wind blowing unexpectedly. You didn't go looking for him, saints. It never begins there. Oh, I've searched for him. No, you have not. He comes looking for you. It's unpredictable, this wind of the Spirit. It can come when you're at your hardest point, when it seems very unlikely, when there's an individual out there and you say, if there's one person not going to believe this, it is them. Well, I assure you, my Holy Spirit, he is unpredictable. He will come when you least expect him. He does come in unusual times to unusual people. I've got the most unusual bunch of people in the room before me. You are a strange bunch to be gathered here this morning. But the Holy Spirit unpredictably began to blow on individual lives and to change them and to transform them. What a miraculous thing this is. I cannot explain this wind of the Spirit. When I see it in a life, I cannot explain it. I can explain religion. It was Watchman Nee said, if you can explain it, it wasn't God. You know, much that's in the church, in the evangelical Pentecostal churches, sure, I could do it. I don't need God to do it. It's all got to do with the lights, the sound of the music, strategies, formulas. That doesn't take any wind of the Spirit. I'm talking about a Holy Spirit that can't be manipulated. He cannot be governed. If the Holy Spirit they talk about can be commanded, controlled, manipulated, used, it's not the real Holy Spirit. Saints, I don't know what he's going to do next. I don't know who he's going to save. I tell you, he can save the worst sinner in these streets, and he'll shock the lot of us. I tell you, we'll have lice come in. We'll go, man, how did you get saved? I'm not really sure, but I sure got saved. How do you know you got saved? The wind of the Spirit blew on me. The Holy Spirit come to me. I tell you, blew out all the rubbish, all the trash. This is the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, it's also supernatural. This wind isn't natural. There is a power with it. It is a divine work. It's not a human work of trying to get people saved. It is a divine power. We're to preach, we're to witness, we're to tell all men, we're to sow the seed. What he does, let him work upon the hearts of men. It's supernatural. Sadly, we brought the born again experience down to a man manufactured thing. It's a carnal thing. It's a natural thing. We have lost the awe of it. You know what we've done to women in this hour? Women walk about our streets naked. Now they're in the church in the worship teams with less clothes on that we go to bed with. I tell you, it's a shame. You know what? Women have lost that special mystery. A woman isn't meant to bear her body before the world. Do you know why? There's meant to be a mystery about that woman. I tell you, she keeps herself for one man and one man only. There is a mystery in it. And it's the same with the born again experience. We've stripped it of all of its mystery and its power and the supernatural element. Now it's a thing of the gutter. It's a thing of this world. It's a thing that men use. Our churches are filled with thousands. Why? Half of them, most of them are tears. How did you get in? Hey, you can keep your statues. Hey, you can keep your old life. You can keep your girlfriend. Hey, you can keep all of your drinking and your social drinking. No, there's no sin in social drinking, is there not? Is there not? Just give me an hour with you with the Bible. You may be in ignorance, but I just need an hour with you. I can prove biblically. If you still don't believe me, I'm not going to argue with you. You believe what you want. But I can show you this in the Word of God. There's a supernatural power with this wind that changes lives. Fourthly, it is spiritual. That means it's internal, it's in the heart, it's in the inner life. It's not just something outward. It's where the wind blows internally. You know, you could start clearing up your life. Well, I'm going to get rid of that, and I'm going to stop that, and I'm going to throw my phone out again, and I'm going to throw this computer out again. Well, I tell you, the Holy Spirit works in the heart. He's not interested in the outward only. Well, I need to change my dresses or my clothes or something else or my music. Let let the Holy Spirit blow within your heart, inside you, internally, in the heart. Fifthly, it blows in different directions. You don't know where this is going to blow, in what direction. The Holy Spirit can blow in your life. And I'll tell you what, if He blew in you to save you this morning, and maybe you're here and you're going, man, it's a long time from I felt the power of the Holy Spirit and everything's normal and dry and barren and I feel lifeless. This wind can blow upon you again a second time and a third time and a fourth time, and He can revive you and stir you and make you alive. It does blow in different directions. Sixthly, it blows in different strengths. We already said that. But my second point, first of all, the wind of the Spirit. I'm explaining to you what it means to be born of the Spirit. We need to define it again. Do you know, in every true revival, it changed nations. Do you know the preachers, Whitfield, Wesley, all of them through the ages, Evan Roberts, all of them. Do you know what they preached again? Every one of them. Not some deep theological, mysterious revelation or some truth about the little toe on the right leg of the statue in Daniel. Oh no. Do you know what they preached? The new birth, the born again experience. You know, every revival, those great men of God come back to the pulpit and they preach, you must be born again. This is what it's all about. No point dealing with anything else if this isn't right in the churches. And I assure you, I know enough of the church to say we've lost the message of the new birth or the born again experience. It's lost. The churches I've walked amongst are some of the best. I assure you, in the best of churches, they hardly understand this anymore of what it is. Secondly, explaining to be born of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit. Not only does He come as a wind, but we have the indwelling of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Be very careful of people, and most of you won't know this, but in church people say, they prayed in the flesh, they're acting in the flesh. Be very careful of that statement. To be in the flesh is to be outside of Christ. Don't use that phrase lightly. Don't allow it into your vocab. To be in the flesh isn't that you're just acting carnal. That's being carnal. But when you say they're in the flesh, you're saying they're outside the Spirit of God, outside of salvation. But ye are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The genuine born again believer has the Spirit of God. The day you get born again, the first day you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. Don't confuse this with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've dealt with that much during July. There is a second definite experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But it's Christ who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. This is something different. The day you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. If He hasn't, then you're not saved. You're not born again. Some people have taught in Pentecostal churches, you don't have the Spirit at all unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is error. That is utterly wrong. When you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Some of you in this room have got the Spirit saying, I'm praying for the Spirit. He hasn't filled me. Do you appreciate that He lives in you? That He indwells you? Saints, this ought to grip us here this morning. I want it to come as a revelation. When I got born again, the Holy Spirit came to live in me. He dwells in me. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit, you need to understand what that means before you seek for a filling. Man, our churches are filled with people. Oh, I want filled, I want baptized, I want a great experience. And I believe in that. You know that. But I'm telling you, we're utterly ignorant of what it means for the Spirit to indwell me. We don't even know the Bible teaches that when I got born again, I'm born of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is in me. Margaret, the Holy Spirit is in you this morning. Rejoice in it. It is a real thing. Have faith in the Word of God. In John chapter 20, 22, we have Jesus with His disciples, and it said, and He said unto them, after He had spoken unto them, He breathed on them And he saith unto him, receive ye the Holy Ghost. When did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit? The indwelling Holy Spirit. It was in John chapter 20, 50 days before Pentecost. He actually said, he's standing before the disciples. He breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm no Greek expert, but I believe in checking these things out. The Greek language has different emphasis. You can say something that can mean over the next 50 days or over the next months, receive over these months. Or the Greek can be written in a sense, and it means right now, this instant, as a finished experience. So in the Greek language, when it says be born again, that means right now, this instant. Or be ye filled, that means continually, over a period of time, constantly keep being filled. But do you know what it means here? When Christ had received the Holy Ghost, he was saying them, right now, here, instantaneously, receive. And he breathed on them. But at 50 days later, at Pentecost, they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. We need to make a difference. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. This is deity. He is God. He's the one who moved on the waters in Genesis 1 when all was dark and without form and shape and order. The Holy Spirit began to move. That is who is in you. If you're born again, the mighty Holy Spirit, he indwells you. Saints, have faith this morning. Begin to discover. Begin to enjoy the reality, the power, the blessing. Do you know what it means? Begin to study Romans chapter 8 or John chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. This is all the teaching on Christ on the indwelling Spirit. In John 14, 17, listen to what Christ teaches. He says, he dwelleth with you. Speaking about the Holy Spirit to the disciples. He dwelleth with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. And shall be in you. This was a promise he made. Then in chapter 16, 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Do you know what that means? Jesus said, it is absolutely necessary. It is vital. I have to go away. I must leave you. It is of such importance what's going to happen that I have to leave you. What is he going to leave us as orphans? No, he goes further. Listen to what he says. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You know what he said? It is vital. Peter, Matthew, John, it is vital that I leave you in order that I can send the Holy Spirit with you. Why? I'm only with you. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will come to live in you. And I will be in you with the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit in you that I will dwell in your hearts by faith. But I've got to leave you. Do you realize if the Holy Spirit lives within you, you have more in the Holy Spirit living in you than you would have if you lived 2,000 years ago. You know, oh, if only I'd lived in the day. If I could have only been in the apostolic band with Peter and Matthew and saw the miracles and you lay my head down round the campfire and ate with the Master. Man, I would be a mega Christian. Out of no trials, I wouldn't sin. I would never fail. I wouldn't argue that I'm greater than any other believer. I wouldn't deny Jesus Christ. I wouldn't get drawn away or get discouraged or shut the door out of fear of being killed if I witness on the streets. I wouldn't do that. Then you're different than the apostolic band. Do you know what he says? Christ says, I must go away. Because when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and dwell in you, you will receive far more than if I was walking with you physically. Saints, you need to open your hearts and minds this morning. If this hits you with any sort of revelation, it will radically change your life. Have faith this morning. He that is within you is greater than he that is within the world. We're always saying, the world is overcoming me. Oh, I can't stand against the flesh. Who lives in you?
Right.
Who is mighty in you? Saints, have faith. Come back to this one more time again. You see, the Holy Spirit, the name Jesus gave him was Paraclete. In the Greek, it means comforter. It means one called alongside you to help you, to be your advocate in a court of law, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to guide you, to remind you of all things in the Word of God. This is the job of the Comforter who lives in you. He says, I am here to help you. Not only an advocate outside of you, not only a comforter who takes you by the hand and says, you know what, I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to make you stand in the hour of temptation. Oh no, and far more, I'm in you. I actually live in you by faith. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The word dwelleth means to make his home. Saints, he's come to make his home within you. Oh, I feel pretty lousy this morning. He's gone. No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. Oh, I don't feel anything this morning. So what? Oh, but I sinned during the week. Well, we'll get to that. But he's dwelling there. He is dwelling in you. If any man defile the temple of God. Now notice this. Your body is the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. If any man defile the temple of God, your physical body, then it actually says, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple we are. What's he saying? If you backslide and go and sleep with a girl, do you know what he's saying? That body is mine. My temple, I dwell in it. I will destroy your body. Do you remember the guy in Corinthians who fell into sexual sin and they handed him over to Satan? Why? So that he would be eternally lost? No. No, they handed him over to Satan. Why? For the destruction of the body, that his soul might be saved. Now look what's happening to this man. Obviously he was a real convert, really met with the Lord. But he's fallen into sexual sin and he's in rebellion. He said, I'm a Christian, I'll be fine, I'm okay. But I can keep my sexual immorality. And the Bible is saying, you know what? I will destroy your body to get your soul. Saints, he will send you to an early grave just to get you there. If it means destroying your body with cancer, he will bring cancer to you. I assure you. Do you hear me? God is not playing games and we're not playing games. There's sinners in this world. They'll live to 90 years old. They're happy. They dance through life. They're fine with life. And they'll die and go to an eternal hell. God loves you too much for that. When a person has really become the temple of God, he says, you walk away from me, you fall away, I will destroy your body just to get you back. If it means a deathbed repentance, getting right with God, I'll do it if I love you. I assure you, saints, I know these things. You don't need to say amen, I assure you. But these are true. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're not your own. Your body isn't yours. Can I tell you that? If the Holy Spirit is in you, you do not own your body, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet. You don't have a right to go anywhere, do anything, look at anything, say anything. Oh, but I'm going to do my own way. Then you're showing the Holy Spirit's not in you. If the Holy Spirit's in you, this is his body. It is a temple. Like in the Old Testament, that temple's looked after carefully. You better look after. Do you know who is in you? If you're born again this morning, do you know who is in you? Do you know who lives within you? You ought to stand in fear. That is not your body. You lost it when the blood forgave you. When you are purchased and redeemed by the blood, it's not your body. You can't have salvation and yet hold sway over your own body. Either it's his body, it's your body. And if it's his body, it's through the blood and it becomes a vessel of the Holy Spirit. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Thirdly, we're talking about what it means to be born of the Spirit. Born again. Thirdly, the witness of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, thank God, again to fear. Once he's saying, when you're born again, you didn't receive a spirit that brought you into bondage or made you a prisoner or just a slave. That wasn't it. He didn't bring you into a place of fear. Listen to what he says. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. If you've been born of the spirit, you've received the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted into the family. You may feel like an orphan. You may feel like an outcast. I assure you, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, he actually goes, you're part of the family of God. You're not an outcast. You're not pointless in life. You've been birthed into a new family. You're my brother. I don't care if you're black, white, yellow, or any other color you can imagine. If you're born again, you are my brother in the family of God. And he says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, that isn't going about stupidly saying, he's my daddy.
Yes.
And there's a lot of disrespect coming in. Do you know what this is? Deep down in my heart, I'm crying out, Abba, Abba. Not only just serving God in fear that I better do right. It's more than that. This is relationship. When I'm born again, there's a witness in my spirit. He, God, the holy God of creation, has become my father. And it says, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. Sure, we're all the children of God. No, we're not.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Yes.
Don't you hear it everywhere? If you're not born again by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, you are not a child of God.
Yeah.
And that's what it says here. That when you're really born again, the Holy Spirit comes within you, the spirit of adoption, and he bears witness with your spirit, not with your mind. Not just with your emotions, with your spirit. He is actually a witness, the Holy Spirit in you. You know what he starts saying? You're my child. You're born again. You're saved by God's grace. And that's what he begins to say. The word beareth witness, this is what it means. To testify jointly. To corroborate. To give evidence. The Holy Spirit is in you. And he begins to witness to your spirit, give evidence to your spirit, not just your mind, your spirit within you. And he says, you're saved.
Amen.
You're saved.
Amen.
I know you're saved. He starts giving you actual internal evidence. Or we could call this the Spirit's Amen. I love that. The Spirit's Amen. Amen, you're born again. And if it contradicts what the written word says, you're not. You can say all your spiritual amens. But if the Holy Spirit's in there and you desire him, the Holy Spirit's saying, you are saved. You get doubts in the mind. Oh, but I failed this week. I struggled. I've been fighting. Saying, man, do you know, I hate these things. I hate myself. And the Spirit's going, you're my child. You're my child. You're my child. It's witnessing. Get up. Get up. Get up. Flee sin. Run from sin. Don't just sit there. Don't wallow in it. Get up again. Repent. Cry out to God. Yes, that horrible word, repent. They say, oh, Christians don't need to repent. Yes, they do. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you do need to repent again. But look at this wonderful assurance of salvation. I know I'm saved. No one told me I'm saved before now. When the Holy Spirit came in, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And you know what? I'm not going to convince one of you in this room that you're saved. You're not going to get a lecture from me. Oxford, don't listen to the doubts. You better do if you're not saved. Because
yeah.
I tell you, I'm not sending any false converts to hell. If I can at all help it, I'll tell you, you're not saved. Or I'll say, I don't know. You need to know. You need to know by the word of God and that inner witness. Because the Holy Spirit, it won't be Keith Malcolmson telling you. The Holy Spirit himself will come and say, amen. Amen. You're born again. I've saved you. Saints, that inner witness of the Holy Spirit is the assurance. It's all through the Bible. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. This is how you gain assurance of salvation. It's by the spirit. Or 1 John chapter 3:24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby, or in this way, we know that he abideth in us by the spirit which he hath given to us. Or 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit is in you to reveal everything. You're cleansed. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You're justified. You've been reconciled. You're born again. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you know? Have you seen it? No, but I know. Amen. How do you know? The Holy Spirit saw it.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe in creation? Oh, yes. Do you have any doubts? No, not a single doubt. I tell you, with the real born-again experience, as soon as they get saved, they can be the worst atheists, evolutionists. I don't need to argue with them. Let the Holy Spirit come within them. And they go, God created everything. Amen. Who told you? Have you been reading Genesis? Genesis, what's that? But you know God's created everything. Oh, yes. How do you know? I just know. Yeah. I just know it's real. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. See, we can lose the sense of the inner witness or the assurance of salvation. I personally believe that with a real, genuine Christian, when you sin against God and disobey, instantly you lose the feeling of assurance.
Yeah.
He hasn't let go of you. He hasn't left you. But the assurance of salvation, you know why that's the first thing he removes? To wake you up.
Right.
That's why he does it. Because he loves you. And that assurance goes and you go, oh God, do you still love me? Have you left me? No. I'm just drawing you back in. You know, that's what the loss of assurance is. Is in order to wake us up to come back, go, I need that witness. Oh God, bear witness. Give me evidence again that I am your child. Okay, I will. I will. Fourthly, the sealing and the earnest of the Spirit. Praise God, this is good, isn't it? I'm enjoying this. It's good to enjoy the house of God. I enjoyed the worship this morning. I enjoyed the Lord's table. I enjoyed singing this morning. I enjoyed the prayer meeting this morning. I enjoyed, man, you missed a prayer meeting Friday night if you weren't here. Praise God. There is a joy. Saints, it's not always joy. There's sorrows. When I tell you, when there's joy, I'm going to enjoy the joy. It's more than just feelings. It is a joy. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm forgiven. I'm glad I'm in the house of God. I'm glad I'm not waking up with a hangover this morning or with a needle in my arm. I'm so glad that I'm not waking up depressed, wanting to throw myself in the river. Thank God for the Holy Spirit indwelling me. Fourthly, the sealing and the earnest of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Notice these two things. He sealed us and he's given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. This is the fourth thing about being born of the Spirit. You have been sealed and you've received an earnest. Now what's a seal? The word seal in the Greek, it means a stamp of approval. In other words, yes, this is the real McCoy. This is the real thing. Do you realize the born again Christian has the seal of the Spirit saying, yes, you've been born again. There's an invisible, indelible mark put upon them to say, you've got heaven's approval. There's an awful lot called Christian in the church. It won't get heaven's approval. There's no seal from heaven. You know what he's saying? I reject this. I tell you, I've talked to people and said, I'm fine, I'm saved, I'm okay. I go, you're not. You're not, you'll never make heaven. If you die tonight, you will not be in the presence of God. You'll go straight to hell. I'm not worried about sinners or those under conviction or God dealing with them. The church is filled with multiplied millions. You know, Leonard Ravenhill, Tozer, Colin Denham, all those men, they used to say only 80% of those professing to be born again are actually truly born again. Then all three of them upped it to 90%. That was in their day. That was in their day. What is it like now? In my life, in 20 years, I've watched it go right down through the floor. Since it's a serious thing, those calling themselves born again, they do not have heaven's approval. The seal, what is the seal? It's a stamp of approval. It's a mark of genuineness. This is a spiritual mark that the Holy Spirit puts on you. He says, this is a genuine convert. It's a mark of ownership. He says, this person is mine. It's a mark of security to guard from preservation. In other words, he said, devil, get your hands off him. Remember about Job, he says, you put a wall in, right? I can't get near the man. I can't touch anything. Yeah, that's right. There's a seal there, and you'll go no further than the devil allows you. Are you being tempted this morning? God thinks you can manage it. He does. But I assure you, if the devil was let loose on you this morning, you'd be finito. And we wouldn't get to water baptism this afternoon. We'd be in that vehicle. The devil would say, I'll stop that bus. But he can't just do anything. There is a mark, a seal of protection. But the word earnest, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He has given the earnest of the Spirit. The word earnest means a pledge, a down payment, a foretaste. Do you know when I proposed to Candace out the road there? We went out strangers. She didn't know what was coming. Only been alone one other time in our lives, but we're in that car. She doesn't know what's coming. I'm getting scared the further out we get. Well, we come back best friends. You know what? I had a down payment on that wedding. I had her word. I had an engagement. I asked her to be married. And after 40 seconds shaking her head, open mouth, I go, man, they always say these girls, they do the opposite thing. She's confusing me. Does this mean yes or does it mean no? 40 seconds. And finally, she didn't say yes. She said something else, but you can ask her. I'd be too embarrassed to say it. But there, it was an aware. I go, I'm going to get married to this girl. Yeah. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is given to you at the new birth, born again of the Holy Spirit? He's in you. And you know what he's saying? Oh, there's a whole lot more. You think this is good? It's nothing. I mean, your entire Christian life, he is the pledge, the down payment, the assurance that the full price will be paid. Saints, this is nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet. The Holy Spirit is saying, oh, the glory of the kingdom to come. Oh, the wonderful riches of Christ. You have only tasted. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's wonderful. Yeah. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's saying, there's more. There's more. There's more. There's so much stored up you can't imagine. Ephesians chapter 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, you've got an inheritance, saints. You don't have the inheritance yet. All you have is this earnest, this pledge of the Holy Spirit living in you. You don't have it all yet. You're getting a new body. You're getting an eternity with Christ. You're getting rid of an old fleshly nature. There's a day coming you'll never be tempted again. You'll never fail again. You'll never grieve the Holy Spirit again. There's a day coming. There is no flesh. There is no devil. There is no world. I tell you, the devil will be in the pit.
Amen.
The lake of fire eternally. That's where he's going to be. There won't be any more flesh. Don't you long for that? Saints, you know, some say, they get down in the Christian life and go, man, this is hard. Hey, this is nothing.
Yeah.
All you, isn't it good? But this is only a foretaste of the inheritance. Man, if this is only a little tiny foretaste, there's an inheritance that you don't get this side of eternity. You won't get it in your physical body. You won't enjoy it all. All you get now is a taste, a foretaste of what is to come. And the Holy Spirit reveals that to us until he's the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. He's already redeemed you.
Yeah.
He's already purchased you. But he's going to come for you in completeness unto the praise of his glory. Let me finish with this fifth point. The setting or placing of the Spirit. He puts you somewhere. When you're born again, first day, you're born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. He seals you. He comes as an earnest. He comes as a foretaste. But he also sets you, on that day, he sets you or puts you somewhere. He sets you in your place. Now listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one Spirit. Baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink of one Spirit. Now notice here, it's not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's much confusion on this. This is a wonderful scripture, and most don't even understand it. It's not about the baptism in the Spirit. Because in the baptism in the Spirit, Christ, at the right hand of the Father, pours the Spirit upon you and baptizes you. Why? To give you power to be a witness, to preach, to tell others of Christ. That is the purpose of it. But that isn't what this is about here. Notice with me again, who does the baptizing? It's not Christ. By one Spirit we are baptized. This is the Spirit baptizing a new Christian. He takes the new Christian and he baptizes him. Some of you are going to experience a baptism this afternoon. What does the word baptism mean? It means to immerse, submerge, plunge within. We're not going to sprinkle you with a bit of water on your forehead. When I finish with you this afternoon and I'm going to be in that water baptizing you, I assure you there won't be one dry spot in your body. I'm going to plunge you. And for a split second, we're going to lose sight of you below the water. I hope it's not cold for your sake. But that's what happens. You get submerged, absolutely drenched. Every part of you. Now look what the Spirit's doing. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit takes you and he baptizes you. He immerses you. He actually makes you go in underneath that you can't be seen. What's he baptizing you in? Water? No. Hallelujah. What does it say? Baptized into one body.
Yeah.
It's the body of Christ. It's the church. The spiritual church. On the day you get born again, do you know what? He makes you a member of the body of Christ. You can't join this church, I'm afraid. You can't leave it. You can't join it. How can you? Only the Holy Spirit can make you a member of the body of Christ. And he takes you and he baptizes you. A Christian without a church, and I know there's circumstance. I know we've all experienced things. I'm talking on a normal base. You find people in the city of Limerick. I don't need the church. My home's my church. TBN is my church. God help you. And just as a sidekick, I got thrown off there, so praise God. Two messages and they said no more of Malcolmson. I'm going to make much of that. I was embarrassed for 2 years going, man, I was on TBN. I don't want anybody to know that. Well, it was only 3 weeks ago. The lady told me, Sister Dissels, do you know what? They threw us off there after those two messages. I went, man, I've regained my reputation. If you don't know what TBN is, never you mind at all. You don't need to know. Forget what I was saying now. But this baptism, we get baptized into the body. At the new birth, when we're born again, he baptizes. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Sitting at home watching TBN. This city has many people. I don't need the church. I'm saved 30. I know everything. I know. I go to all the churches. How come I don't know you then? Hey, you don't give money to all the churches. I assure you that. But they drift around. And yet they say, we have the Holy Spirit. He guides us. Hold on, one of the first major works is to immerse you. The Holy Spirit will baptize you into the body. He immerses you. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, bond or free, black or white, doesn't matter. You're all made to drink into the same Spirit. Then look at verse 18, chapter 12, 18, as we close. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. You can't make yourself an eye, an ear, a toe, a finger, or anything else. Do you realize the Holy Spirit sets you within the body? The word set means to deliberately, specifically put you in a place and make you a certain member of the body.
Yeah, yeah.
The Holy Spirit, do you know as a Christian, we're never meant to be alone.
Yes.
There should be a body, there should be fellowship, there should be other believers. If you find a Christian and say, I don't need the church, you ought to be saying, how'd you get born again? Did God save you? Oh yes, I'm born again. But the Bible says, oh, but I don't need that. But the Bible says, you're not born of the Word then. Oh, but I have the Spirit. He guides me in dreams and visions and prophecies. And I just know. And miracles happen. Do you know when Judas says, they claimed to have the Spirit, but they had no Spirit of God. They were apostates. They were outside of Christ. You know, do you know what? And if you look at Judas, it says they weren't a member of the body. And they said, I'm not going to have no man shepherd me or lead me. I feed myself. I can have my own teaching. I don't need to listen to any preaching. Then there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you if you don't need the body of Christ. The great mark of being born of the Spirit, born of the Word, is that He baptizes you into the body. Those who are born of the Spirit are placed within the local church. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Brother, I'm just one of those. John 3. The wind bloweth me where it listeth. You don't know when I'm going to turn up next. Maybe I'll be there Sunday. Maybe in a month's time. You never know when I can. I'll certainly be back when I'm in trouble and need you. But the wind bloweth where it listeth. You don't know when I'll come, when I'll go. Maybe I'll leave before the end of the meeting. Who knows? That isn't what He's talking about. Those who are born. It's the Spirit moves like that. Not those born of the Spirit. Those born of the Spirit are going to stay within a church unless there's a good reason to leave. God help us. Man, I've got lots more to preach, but we're going to close here. Let's stand together. Praise God. Let's worship Him. Let's praise Him.